Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. Please silence your cell phones or other audible devices. It's not to disrupt this meeting, please. If you'd stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
This moves us up to item number 3. This is discussion and possible action, approval of the agenda for September the 17th, 2019. Mr. Osborne, do we have any changes to make to today's agenda?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'd like to continue item 11 to the October 1, 2019 County Commission meeting.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
All right. Is it public comment regarding today's agenda? You get a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve today's agenda, continuing item 11 to the October 11th commission meeting.
October 1st, was that?
Yes. October 1st.
There we go. Sorry. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for August the 6th, 2019. Commissioners, have any questions about the minutes?
Do not.
Is there any public comment regarding the minutes of August the 6th? Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I have a motion. I have a second.
I'll second.
Move the second to approve the minutes of August 6th. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to item number 5, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for August the 20th. Any public comment regarding the 20th? Hearing none, motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I have a second.
I'll second.
Move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Move along now to today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 7. This is discussion only. We'll take no action in public comment. These are committee and staff reports. As always, I'll start on the right side of the room with Sheriff Antonoro.
Good morning. Just a few things. I received word yesterday from some of the CERT people who were out in the hills, and they're also part of the site stewards for the petroglyphs, that there's been some damage to the gates out there. I advised the county manager about that, so we'll see about getting those repaired. But we'll be working on seeing where that goes. But they're probably going to be coming here looking for some support for some way of better monitoring that, at least what I'm hearing. So there's that. Also, just so you're aware of the passing of longtime Lockwood resident, Laura Hansen passed away a week ago. They're still working on arrangements for her. And then the last thing is just a reminder that get your earplugs out. We're just over a week away from street vibrations, so it's going to get noisy. Any questions for me?
Any questions for the sheriff?
No.
Thank you, Jerry. All right, next up, our operations manager, Mike Northan.
Good morning, commissioners. Mike Northan, operations and projects coordinator. Several items to update you on today. We'll start off with the divide building. Just wanted to report that design is continuing. We're still in the window of the time allotted for the architectural design and engineering design, and that is ongoing. And, of course, with any project of this size and complexity, there have been a few bumps and hitches along the way, but we are working through them. Gross plan has been pretty well worked out. We're getting into the detailed phase of the design. Been coordinating with the tenant departments, addressing their input into the design. The site plan is coming together, and we're going to be addressing parking, for both public and employees, and working to provide a sufficient number of handicap accessible spaces with accessible routes to the building entries. Next one is Six Mile Canyon Drainage Improvement Project. Did meet with the parent representative of the owner of the subject property to review the proposed channel design. The representative indicated that they had some concerns with the design, mainly relating to access to the portion of the property that is south of the roadway and the proposed channel. So we revised the design to accommodate the concerns in a cost-neutral way. Basically, we removed one access. We're happy to put one back, and where it lies along that channel is of no particular concern. So we think we've got that sorted out. We do have a meeting with them on October 1 to further discuss if we can secure the easement and move forward with that project. Sharon House steps. Final design has been approved by CHD and the adjacent property owners. The engineer, Mr. Ferrari, is assembling the bid package. We await delivery of that. But he's also working on the divide building, which has a priority status, so he's been pretty busy with that. I would expect that upon completion of his work there, that we'll return back to the Sharon House steps so we can get that sent out to bid. On the fuel bids, a couple meetings ago, a citizen was inquiring about the county negotiating with the propane supplier for a Story County resident rate for propane delivery and why we didn't do the same for the gasoline and diesel fuels. So I did talk to the gasoline and diesel fuel supplier, and I was told they'd be happy to look into it and to see. Main consideration here is the, of course, volume and frequency. There are far more private propane tanks than there are private 300 or 500 gallon gasoline or diesel tanks. But if the number of such tanks could be determined along with the estimated weekly usage rates and that could be assembled, I would be happy to present that to the supplier, which is Carson Valley Oil, for their consideration. Obviously, the more bulk that's moving, the better the rates are going to be. And they said they would be happy to take a look at that and probably coordinate that around their normal delivery out to Station 72, which is, I think, on Fridays. Item 5, VCTC. We had some water damage there at the visitor center. As I previously reported, we had a severe, short but severe downpour, and water intruded through the exterior south wall of the Crystal Bar building. The water damaged the interior plaster surface and bubbled out the wallpaper and carried a bunch of dissolved solids through to the face of the wallpaper, leaving sort of a chalky deposit all over. The damaged area is trended downward in a slant to the front of the building, which is basically following the surface of the adjacent Taylor Street. Our insurance carrier was notified. They did send Belfour Restorations to assess the damage and provide a scope of work. That scope of work was sent and forwarded to SHPO for their review and comment. And, of course, during initial testing, it was discovered we did find some mold behind the wallpaper on the sort of interior surface of the wallpaper, and so that's being abated. And also the wood wainscot that ran along the lower portion of the wall there was found to be coated in lead-based paint. So the scope of work was revised to show abatement of the lead-based paint and the mold. The wood portions of that wainscot are going to be removed, stripped, recoated with safe material, and then reapplied. And that that revised scope of work also went to SHPO for their approval, meeting their directives on that. And a plastic containment has been erected in the building. If you go in there, you'll see that. We did squoze it over to one side as much as possible to allow for the normal course of business for the visitor center as well as access to the public restrooms in there. There's going to be an electrician on site today removing the electrical outlet so the baseboard of the wainscot can be removed, stripped of the lead-based paint, and I'll be reporting further on this as the work progresses. Item 6, the depot. Now that Story County has acquired the freight depot, we had a meeting this week to map out some strategic goals for the building and to discuss a tactical approach to sequencing the work. Obviously, the first priority is going to be security of the building in terms of fire protection and weatherproofing of the building. So step one is I'm going to be generating an existing plan of the building and the grounds, and we'll be using that to solicit quotes for maybe a dry pipe type of fire sprinkler system. Next step will be to look at getting a competent roof on the building. And while the existing shingles are historic and even beautiful, they are deteriorated heavily and insufficient for fire-resistive qualities. So I'm pricing types of Class A fire-resistive roofing materials that will suffice there but also preserve the historic look of the building. They do make some incredibly cool products now. They're high wind-resistant, fire-resistant, and you can't tell that it's not a wood shake until you get right up on it. So we're going to investigate some of those costs and see what we need to do there. Also coming up will be a grading and drainage plan to address water runoff, because eventually we're going to be looking at permanent parking solutions, striping, and that sort of thing. And item seven, I do have lots of smaller projects, but they're in progress, and nothing earth-shaking to report on those. And that's all I have for you gentlemen today.
Any questions for Mike?
Yeah, Mike. I assume the tenant's still at the depot?
Yes, sir.
Do you know when he's moving out?
He has 1 year to vacate.
Okay.
Along those lines, Commissioner Carmona, I want to understand that he has a house in escrow, which possibly may have closed.
Okay.
And so he may be vacating the property sooner than the 1 year.
Okay.
I know he's also scheduled an auction down there to auction off his own private properties.
Okay.
Down there, too. So.
Great.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Over at the community chest and library, Eric Sean.
Good morning, everybody. For the record, Eric Schoen of Community Chest, the Story County Library. I am feeling a little bit peaked this morning, and that's because I had a flu shot last night. So it's a good time to remind everybody this is flu shot season. There are a couple of clinics that have been arranged, and maybe Stacy will have more information on that. If Sherry will have more information on that, but it's important to get those flu shots to reduce the likelihood of more serious consequences. As somebody who was put in the hospital 5 years ago due to having a really bad case of the flu, I am a big proponent of getting your flu shot, so make sure you get those. I have a few other points to discuss with you, just three or four different topics. Our Early Childhood Education Center, we have passed all of our inspections. We just recently passed a fire inspection, so now we're waiting for the actual state permit to open, and we've been told that we should receive that within the next 30 days, so sometime between now and let's say the 20th of October, we should receive that permit. We will initially start with 18 kids. It looks like we've been licensed for up to 30, but we just want to make sure we get our feet under us before we think of taking a larger group of students. So that's good news. You may have heard about our telehealth options there at the clinic. The good news is that people are responding to our entreaties to give telehealth a try, because I think the future of medicine really is telehealth, especially given the lack of providers that are available and the need to find other strategies to meet that need. So down the road, in fact, I think they're already doing this now with Renown. If you're with Hometown Health and you have a doctor with a Renown plan, you can see your doctor via cell phone. And eventually, Nevada Health Centers, which is our primary partner there for healthcare services, will be utilizing a similar platform, which I think will be really nice for folks in Story County. They won't have to drive in to have an appointment. They'll be able to see a doctor from their phone, and if they can take care of it there, perfect. If not, then they'll know that they need to be seen in a clinic. So it should hopefully save time. In the meantime, we have this transition stage where people have to go into the office and utilize the little telehealth cart that's there. So the issue we're running into is one that we don't have enough bandwidth to support the full functionality of the telehealth unit. So what we're looking at now is whether or not we can get faster internet into our center to help make that a smoother experience. So I want to say, first of all, I appreciate, big thank you to all the folks who are giving it a try. The folks who have had good success have really enjoyed it. And my apologies that we're having some connectivity issues which are making the experience less than it should be. So we're working on that actively to get in front of that. Last but not least, we had 100 people from around the region last Friday for our Thrive Conference. It's our seventh annual. It's the second year that we've had it here in Virginia City. People from Douglas County, from Churchill County, Mineral County, Washoe County, Lyon County in here, celebrating essentially the value of health and human service providers and what we do. We are fortunate to have some great local participation, particularly Deputy Schroeder. Thank you, Sheriff Antonoro, for letting him participate, as well as local business owner Eric Troska from the Roasting House and his own electrical engineering firm. And we also recognize Judge Harrington with her own superwoman cape for all of the great changes she's made over at the court to make it more inclusive and more accessible. So those are the highlights, as I know.
That's good.
Any questions?
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, over community relations, Sherry Nevin.
Good Good morning, Sherry Nevin, for the record. Just another reminder that on October 25th at 11 a.m., we will be doing the unveiling of the new Miner in the Park statue at Miner's Park here in Virginia City. I'd invite all of you to attend. I'm also very happy to report that after 6 days throughout the county in Virginia City, Gold Hill, the Highlands, Mark Twain, and Lockwood, we completed our CASPER survey. That was a direct result of the great participation that we had from the folks at Carson City Health and Human Services who facilitated that for us, along with our county staff. I'd like to recognize Joe Curtis for his time, Jeff Nevin, Stacy Gilbert, myself and other volunteers in the community, Mary Stassi and Lance Otto. We completed this in a shorter period of time than we anticipated, and it was a great opportunity for us to interact positively with our residents. So, you know, we showed up at people's front doors, knocking on their door, have you heard of your survey? No. Would you be willing to take it? Yes. I mean, we had very few folks turn us away, so we were very happy to have that, and I think folks were very impressed with us coming around and doing work to see how prepared we are in the event of an emergency. So thank you to everyone for your participation, the citizens as well. Our hazard mitigation plan update is well underway as well. We did a survey monkey. We posted a link out to our Facebook page, and we had a really good response, about 155 participants in that. So if you haven't completed that survey and you would like to, let me know, and I'll be happy to get you that link. And then Eric mentioned flu season is here, and once again, we've partnered with Nevada Health Centers to do flu vaccine clinics throughout the county. So I'm going to go ahead and give you a rundown of the dates. The first one will be on October 2nd from 9 to 11 a.m. at the Lockwood Community Center. On October 3rd from 9 to 11 at the Virginia City Senior Center. October 16th from 9:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Mark Twain Community Center. And October 16th from 4:30 to 6:30 at the Highlands Fire Station Meeting Room. If we need to schedule additional clinics, if there's a need, we can definitely work with Nevada Health Centers to do that. They will also be in all of our schools doing vaccines as well. So, I've also been participating on a project with UNR and various other federal agencies such as USDA, BLM, Forest Service on what they're calling the Nevada Economic Assessment Project. And this is a project that they're working on to provide all 17 Nevada counties with data that we can use for planning purposes, for land use, grant writing, policy assessment. They're looking at demographics, social, economic, fiscal, and environmental characteristics. They'll be here in our county working on their assessment between the period of April and June of 2020. So we'll probably be having a presentation. They're going to be asked to get on the agenda sometime after the first of the year, the folks from UNR, to give us an update on what they're doing, what this is going to kind of look like. But it's a very exciting project. Some of these infographics coming out are going to be super helpful as we, like I said, procure grants, do land use planning, plan for big other developments. So this is at no cost to us. It's these federal agencies and UNR footing the bill on this project. So.
Good.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Sherry. No? Thank you, Sherry. Yeah. All right. Director of Public Works, Jason Worsbesky.
Commissioner Jason Worsbesky for the record. Just a quick update. We are resuming road work on Six Mile Canyon next week. And so we'll be back to 30-minute delays and try to minimize those as much as possible, and then ongoing drainage work down in Mark Twain. Do you have any questions?
No, great. Yeah. Thanks, Jason. All right, Story County Senior Citizen Center, Stacey York.
Good morning, Stacey York for the record. I just have a bunch of save the dates. So I keep pushing it. Lasagna cook-off is October 4th. That's in a couple Fridays. We have a calendar premiere party for our Women of the Comstock calendar on October 24th. We have the Veterans Day spaghetti feed after the parade on November 11th. We will be out looking for donations to purchase spaghetti feedstuff, as well as volunteers. The craft fair bake sale is going to be 2 days this year, December 7th and 8th, and that's going to be at the Senior Center and Community Chest, and we'll also be partnering with St. Mary's for that event. And then Lamar Baxla passed away about 2 months ago. His memorial is Sunday, September 22nd at 6 p.m. at the Ponderosa. It's a potluck, so bring a dish and come remember Bax. Any questions?
I think that all donations for the potluck go to the Senior Citizen Center.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, Stacy. All right. From the Recorder's Office, Marnie Martinez.
All right. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm here to report on another scanning project that we're working on. Currently, in addition to the last one, we're scanning all of our historic records. We're getting good digital images of everything in the vault of the official records series. These are images that have not been digitally available in the past. So we're currently working on that with U.S. Imaging. And bear with us. It's going to be a lot of indexing and a lot of books and pages to get through, but we'll get through it. It's our office and also the clerk's office. So, more history preserved.
Terrific.
Any questions?
Nothing. Great. Thank you, Marnie. Right. Okay. So, from the comptroller's office, I have a choice here. I could go to Jennifer McCain. Does Jennifer have anything to present today?
Thank you.
Not today. Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, public stakeholders. Last week we went to Elko, Nevada for the County Fiscal Officers Association participation for the state of Nevada. That organization comprises of state recorders, of our county recorders, county clerks, county treasurers, and county comptrollers. This was especially advantageous to us because there was an invitee from Tyler Technologies there, to which we had a two-day conference with to figure out what the problems are. As I mentioned to Commissioner Gilman, it's always nicer to insult somebody when you're face-to-face with them than when you're on a phone, because you get a lot more done. And this was an excellent, excellent demonstration. There were no less than six comptrollers or their staffs there. What we found out was that all of our issues are the same. We also found out that certain counties had already corrected their problems, but nobody else knew about it. We have been promised by Tyler and by this gentleman by the name of Sean Lally, who's the product manager for the entire accounting distribution, that we will have at the end of or the beginning of next year a Nevada's user group that affects only Nevada's problems, where we're at with this. It will actually be a great conference, because at that point in time the budget process will start and we'll go through that. So I think there was an excellent job. Jennifer, who for the most part owns this software, thought it was very, very productive. Pretty much told me to keep my mouth shut, which I did, let all of this good information go. So it was very, very productive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Not today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple things. One, I want to update you on the lands bill in Virginia City and Gold Hill. I'm working with Senator Cortez Masto's office as well as Amade's office. and the others to try to resolve the matter that has been going on for quite some time now. We do believe at this time that there is a way to navigate the existing bureaucratic structures at the federal level. As bad as that sounds, it is eroded, and that that process will ultimately lead into the resolution of this bill, where the bill does not have to be amended or interpreted by Congress. And we are looking at 18 months. I hate to say it, but that's encouraging. But it's when I hear the way that it was being looked at, I said, at least we know that there's a real road there, and it's actually paved, and it's actually within the parameters of the federal legislation and bureaucratic structures that exist. That means it can actually happen, possibly. So 18 months from now, that means there will be the surveys, the cadastral work on some of the right-of-ways and easements and encroachments and power utilities and all those kinds of things that exist in the subject area. And at that point, then, we could work with the applicable agencies to then begin the transfer of the land over to Story County, and then Story County can begin the transfer of the land to the respective private property owners throughout the area. So it's looking good, hopefully. The affluent line, it is preliminary at this point, but Ames so far is the number one lowest bid on the affluent line project. They haven't been awarded the bid yet because there is pending review. There's some other things that need to be gone through. But at this point, it is safe to say that they're the lowest bid and that they're looking like they'll probably end up being the chosen project for the affluent line. The Marillette system study, there's a little bit of a different direction on that. It's a good direction. That's going to cause about another 30 days or so delay. But their scope of work is being developed as we speak to look at that study. And I remind us that's really a twofold study. One is for the water resources of the Marillette system is applicable to Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City in Lyon County. And the other half is to look at the water resources that would be available for the Highlands and maybe Mark Twain. And then the kind of the third part of that, if you want to say, is the not only the water availability, but the water right availability and the infrastructure potential in the future to transmit water to a place at which point that it could be distributed at a more local level. That will be coming to the board for action ultimately, so there will be more to discuss. And then just to touch on a few other things, the Lockwood Waste Management or Waste Management Franchise Agreement negotiations are ongoing and going very well. One of the big items is in Lockwood, which is outside of our agreement, but Waste Management is still working with us to look at dealing with the, I call it the lower upper road above Perry Ranch Road, for them to be able to resume trash service to that community. And we're looking at a turnaround. Jason W. and his team have been working with their engineers to see, can we do a ramp? Can we do a turnaround? Can we do a hammerhead? Whatever, whatever. We're even talking with them about maybe a different type of service where they can use a smaller truck to get in there. One way or another, we're pushing Waste Management to service that area, and they are working with us for resolutions. Cartwright in Loustown, as far as Cartwright, I'm working with Keith Loomis's office to, and Jay as well, and how do we get that easement transferred over to the county so the county can begin paving, maintaining, and in perpetuity keeping Cartwright Road. And we already now know that Loustown Road is a county road. We're working on finding the center line of that and the width of it so we know from shoulder to shoulder what can be done on that in perpetuity. So it's working as well. Perry Ranch Road easement is another one going from Canyon Way over to about the school. And at that point, I'm working again with Keith's office, and Keith's working with the LCC's attorney. And to get that language addressed, there's just some nuances on how that language is written right now. Once that's done, the county will have the ability to pave, maintain in perpetuity, and even enforce law on that portion of the road. And then last but not least, I'm working with Linda Ritter. Probably by the October 1st meeting, you'll have a scope of work and contract to consider for the countywide strategic plan. And at that point, there will be a discussion with this board and Linda and myself and the public on where we want to go with it. What community do we want to start with, and how do we start building our plan? That's all I have. Thank you.
Well, any questions for Austin? None? Okay. To the County Clerk, Vanessa Stevens. Nothing today?
All righty. That concludes the Committee and staff reports. Move on to item number 8. These are board comments. We'll take no action or public comment. And we'll start to the far end of the table. Commissioner Carmona.
Just wanted to wish Planning Commissioner Pellett a happy birthday today. And on some bad news, a relatively long-time resident in the Virginia City Highlands, Lenny Wenrick, passed away about a month ago. Went in for regular surgery, and that did not turn out so well. So.
Thank you, Jay. Huh? Vice Chairman Gilman.
Nothing today, thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Just following up on the sheriff's comment about street vibrations rolling into town this next week. Since our last, since Denny isn't in attendance today, a little bit on the tourism issue. Since our last meeting, we've had the camel races. They're a victim of their own success now. They sell out and don't have enough seating. So it's a good problem in one way. They're going to have to try to figure out more seating in the future. The town was jam-packed with visitors from all over the world to come see the 60th annual camel races, ostriches and feathers. The town was also very busy last week simply because of the Reno National Air Races. Just all kinds of air race people are up here all week long. And so what goes on in Reno is also good for Virginia City. So just as hot August nights and street vibrations, whatever Reno does, we're going to get the residual from that. So that's all I have on that. So we'll move on now to item number 9. This is a workshop discussion only. We'll take no action. This is a presentation and community discussion of Virginia City and Gold Hill Water and Sewer Rate Assessment. Ms. Nevin.
Good morning. Sherry Nevin again for the record. In April 2019, Story County contracted with Far West Engineering to conduct an assessment of water and sewer rates for Virginia City and Gold Hill. Rates are required to be assessed by both of our major grant and loan funders for water and wastewater projects, which is USDA and State Revolving Fund. These funders want to make sure that the county has the proper rates in place to fund these systems to operate on a daily basis, make needed improvements to the systems, and make the payments on our debt obligations. To complete this task, Far West reviewed the financial information for the water and wastewater systems to assess the adequacy of current water and sewer rates to cover the cost of water and sewer services. We have Lucas Tipton here today in attendance with Far West Engineering, and I'm going to have him go over the report more in detail for you. But what we're hoping to get from today is comments and directions for addressing these rate proposals as we go forward.
Thank you, Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Sherry. For the record, Lucas Tipton with Far West Engineering. Yes, this project was started under County Manager Witten. And it was meant to look at the rates. It was a rate assessment, not a rate study. The last rate study was completed in 2011 and recommended a series of rate increases or rate adjustments, as well as a restructuring of your rate structure. This effort was just to review the rates and make sure that they were appropriate moving forward with really. The guiding principle was to make sure revenues were covering annual expenses projected at a minimum of a five-year window. We reviewed, as Sherry said, we reviewed financial records, mainly certified audits over the past 5 years, and made some key recommendations. Overall, the recommendations are very minor. We're looking at small one to a 2.5% increase starting in 2021 and ending in 2024 for the water system. And then and with a annual increase of 3% for your wastewater system, for the sewer system. Once both systems, and another recommendation of the analysis was that starting in 2025, that the county looked to adjust their rates according to the Consumer Price Index Urban for the Western Region. That's very standard. Although I would say, and it really is just more of a cost of living inflationary type accommodation. But it is worth note that water and wastewater costs have far exceeded the CPIU or just standard inflation over the past 20 years because of the age of infrastructure. And that's nationwide, just nationwide averages. As part of this analysis, we did review your rates in, you know, this area in the region. You do not have the highest rates now, nor will you have the highest rates in 2024. With that, I'd love to take questions.
Any questions for Lucas? I don't have any questions. This is always a high ticket item that we get as commissioners when we have to raise water and sewer rates, because every business and every individual in Virginia City and Gold Hill sees it, you know, every month.
Yes.
So we have a lot of infrastructure improvements over the last several years, of a new wastewater treatment plant, new sewer lines all throughout the city, and then, of course, a lot of improvements to the water system with the water, new water tanks that are going to be built, new water line out on Jumbo Grade, or I should say Ophir Grade, and then, of course, the improvements we're going to be making on the Gold Hill sewer system. So when you look at all of the millions of dollars that are being spent on the improvements, it does look like just a nominal increase in the rates. And, of course, I, being a resident of Virginia City, I get impacted by it just like every other resident does. So.
And, you know, we tried to be very mindful of that as we looked at all this, too. I mean, we only have a very small base of folks that we can rely on for these rates. It's not the general fund subsidizing water and sewer. It's water and sewer paying their way. So it's, you know, it's a challenge when you have, you know, just kind of off the top, we've probably done nearly $20 million in improvements here in the last couple years, you know, and that's utilizing. We've been super fortunate that we've gotten grants, you know, from USDA. Yes, we have had to take out loans, but without these large grants, you know, the rates would be much higher than
what we're. Good points here, yeah, because the water and the sewer system have to be self-supporting on their own. This is a workshop, so we'll open it up if anybody has any public comments, if they have any questions or that. Ms. Barton.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I didn't catch, I have two questions. You said 1 to 2.5% increase from 2021 to 24 for water, and then 3% for waste and sewer, also the same dates, 2021 to 24?
Correct.
Okay. Does this include the costs of the Lockwood treatment facility? Or
no.
Not Lockwood, I meant Gold Hill. Is that going to then be on top of this?
No. Correct.
It's all included in the...
It's included in the
So this is comprehensive. So the folks of Gold, the Gold Hill residents aren't going to get hit with another.
No, they're part of the system now.
And the $20 million that you cited includes what's happening in Gold Hill. Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right. Additional questions or comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have a lot to say because you folks have really put together a great report here, and it says everything that needs to be said. Just some of the challenges in this have been the historic nature of our existing system. It isn't like Lockwood where you're in new ground and putting in a new system. It's a lot easier to do that. I'm going to say a lot easier. It's a challenge, too, but it's quite a bit. When you're dealing with the type of topography we have here, the historic resources, the archaeological stuff that had to be done, the studies, SHPO, and then dealing with taking old systems out and putting new systems in, like what's going on in Gold Hill, dealing with the BLM and putting in water lines and going through NEPA, it just is layered and layered and layered, and I think it's amazing that our team has been able to put together all of the things that have been done so far with the costs that were done in that, in addition to the help we got from USDA and all that. But part of this study, and we had talked about this, is incorporating and understanding all of those elements that do make this an expensive system to operate and to put in.
Okay. Anyone else?
Okay.
Maybe one thing to follow up, Austin, as he was saying, the complexities, and a lot of ratepayers will ask, you know, how can we reduce rates? And really that's reducing expenses, and that's what county staff has had a keen eye for, pursuing, you know, certain funding options, as well as increasing efficiencies in operating your system. And that's how we keep rates affordable. One note is looking at the affordability index of your rates, they're extremely affordable. You're around 1 to 1.5% of your median household income, which is extremely affordable. Most systems are at 1.5 to 2%. So all of these adjustments are within those windows.
And of course, go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, that usually these water sewer systems, they usually outpace the CPI index.
Yes.
So theoretically we could come back in 5 years and have to adjust these rates outside of the scope of the scale that you've outlined here, because if the cost of maintenance on the facilities costs more than what the increases are, we'll have to address it then too.
Correct. Yeah, it's not a guarantee that there won't be future increases, but we also didn't take the most conservative approach and just say,
right,
you know, raise rates at 6% so you never have to look at it again. We feel it's something that a community should be doing every 5 years, so that you are you know, assessing the most appropriate rate to your current rate base over those years.
Because we never know what type of new rules the EPA might hand down for management, the treatment management on both the wastewater and the freshwater side. So if the rules become, you know, more stringent, then it's going to cost more to maintain the system.
Absolutely.
Right. Great. Good follow-up.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In addition to this, you know, there is a CPI that would go in perpetuity then that would keep this from happening again, to keep that rate up where it needs to be to help offset this. But our team with Public Works also has looked at some cost-saving measures, such as getting one of our water treatment persons certified at the sewer level, where we would no longer need to have the outside contractor services for that. So in addition to the more efficient means that this system has in maintenance, would help reduce those costs and keep it under control. Thank you.
Okay, great. Any other follow-up? If not, we'll go ahead and we'll move on.
So
thank you.
One last thing, actually.
Okay.
We will probably, our next step here will be coming back before you with approving those rates, so actually setting those into place by resolution.
By resolution, right.
Okay.
Jerry. Thank you, Lucas. So next up will be item 10, discussion and possible action.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, in as much as I own a pecuniary interest in part of the subject matter for this agenda item, I'm going to recuse from discussion or voting.
All right. Great. Thank you. Mr. Gowen. Possible approval of an easement for a pipeline facility to the TRI General Improvement District, where the pipeline crosses Louise Perry Park, owned by Story County, which we use to transport effluent from the Truckee Meadows Water Reclamation Facility in Sparks to the TRI GID facility in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Mr. Loomis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. the TRI GID is responsible for constructing the pipeline from Tumwark to the TRI GID, and they have been in the process of getting rights of way and easements to put the pipeline, to run the pipeline from Sparks to the industrial park. One of the hangups is the Louise Perry Park, which is a park that was deeded to the county by the National Park Service. It has a restriction in the deed that says that if the park is used for anything else besides a park, then the federal government may have the right to come back and ask to have a return to the federal government. That's been a bit of an issue. Mr. Geselin is here today. He's been responsible for getting most of the easements and rights away in place. And Chuck Wiener was also here. He's been dealing with the federal government in regards to their view of putting the pipeline through the Louise Perry Park. I know Sherry's been involved in it too. But and John, maybe you can come up and explain what interaction you've had with the federal government.
Good morning, Chairman McBride, Mr. Corona. I'm John Geslin. I've been retained by TRI, a general improvement district, to acquire the rights of way for this effluent pipeline. On July 1st, we received a written confirmation from Janice Keller from the Nevada Division of Parks that this pipeline easement, this underground pipeline easement, was in compliance with the state regulations. Subsequent to that, I have been in contact with the U.S. Park System with Mr. Siegelfowler in San Francisco. I had a lengthy discussion with him about the deed restriction, about using it for recreational purposes, and if this would have any impact on it. It's an underground easement through the park, and once the pipeline is completed, there will be no effect on the park itself. Mr. Thiegenthaler gave his verbal approval to me at that time. He said that if it's in compliance with the state regulations, that the federal government would have no problem with it. He wanted to do some checking with somebody, and I have not been able to get a hold of him since. I know Mr. Loomis has tried. I've tried by email and telephone, and I will continue to try to get a written confirmation from him. But at the time, he had no problem with the easement. Are there any questions?
Other questions, Jay? No, I'm just thinking that the pipeline is going to go underground. It's not going to affect the park at all. I mean, temporarily, just to be digging it up with the pipe in the ground. But so basically, you're coming to us to go ahead and approve an easement, which we can do. We want to wait until we get written approval.
Well, there's some time pressure in light of the fact that the project has gone out to bid. I've tried to contact Mr. Siegenthaler myself several times, and I've left messages. I've never heard from him. And I know Chuck has talked to him, and you got a verbal approval from him also,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah.
And I know we got a written approval from state parks that they have no objection to putting the underground pipeline in there. And so I really think that the risk is minimal that this federal government is going to have a problem with this.
Okay.
The 1981 deed that deeded the property from the U.S. government to Story County, if you read the deed itself, it has an exception in there that the federal government at the time approved all existing easements, underground easements and utilities that were in the parcel that authorized and approved those at the time. This is consistent with the federal government thought that the utilities are an acceptable use, in an area, although it's a use for recreation. And you made a good point, Chairman McBride, that it's underground. It'll be a temporary disruption. Once it's finished, there's going to be no effect on the use of the land for the recreational park system.
And since they go ahead and they approve any existing easements, there's no reason to believe that there would be a prohibition on any additional easements.
That's my conclusion also.
Right. Sure. Okay. Thank you. We also have any public comment regarding this item? So, Mr. Lomas, are we looking for a motion to approve this easement now?
We are.
Okay. I'll look to fellow Commissioner Carmona, if you would motion to approve this easement.
Jay Carmona, move to approve the grant of an easement for pipeline facilities to the TRI GID, where the proposed pipeline crosses Louise Perry Park, and authorize the chairman to sign.
Okay. I have a motion. And I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. We'll get you a copy.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Mr. Goslin. All right. At this time, we'll welcome Commissioner
Gilman, back up to the board. We've already continued item 11, which brings us on to item number 12, discussion of possible action. Authorize the county manager to extend and modify previously approved purchase of up to 2 years of PERS retirement credit for Comptroller Hugh Gallagher pursuant to his retirement from county employment.
Okay. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On June 18, 2019, the board had approved a majority vote of a 2 years buyout for Hugh Gallagher to retire from county service effective October 1. Since that time, Comptroller submitted his resignation, but then since that time, we have had a conversation about a potential alternative. Hugh would really like to look at helping his office train a new staff person that would be able to be a successor for the following year. There is a massive undertaking involving the Tyler system and DevNet conversion, which people really sometimes don't understand. It isn't like downloading Office 360 and then learning how to push all the buttons and get into the menus. It truly is building a brand new program for every single department differently and trying to then coordinate and connect all of the departments together and be consistent with the state. And to change over in the middle of this process could be detrimental to the county, and the comptroller has certainly brought that to our attention, saying he wants to help this transition with these two systems before he leaves. In addition to the other accounting conversions and things that are going on, we believe, and he does, and I agree, that an April 30th, 2020 retirement would be more appropriate. Mr. Gallagher agrees with this. And at that point, that's what this motion would be to do. There is a prorating of the PERS. He'll be working for 7 more months and then accruing PERS on 7 more months and trying to create balance on what was already provided by the board and then something to adjust for this amendment, I believe would be appropriate, is to provide a 1 year PERS buyout effective September 30th or on or about September 30th instead of a 2 year. That would maintain consistency with what was already done. And then for the remaining 7 months to prorate that and have a remaining PERS buyout on April 29. I believe that would be a 5 month. So we go from a 2 year PERS buyout to a 1 year and 5 month PERS buyout. I want to thank you, but I also want to thank Mr. Gallagher for collaborating and working with me on this. It's been a very complex process, and I really appreciate that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioners, have any questions for us on this?
Yeah, have we started looking for a replacement?
Yes.
Okay. Any suitable candidates so far?
I'm going to say there are qualified candidates in the pool right now.
I'm relieved that all parties have come together on this. I was concerned about the transition. I'm delighted we're extending April, and thank you for that. I think it's worked well for the county.
Okay, I'll open up for public comment. Okay, before I call for a motion, I'm going to let it be known that this board and all those who are in attendance know that I always vote no when it comes to buyouts of county officials. This board has already approved this buyout. This is simply to adjust the terms. And so, anyway, my vote is going to be different today simply because this board's already approved it, and this is just an adjustment to it. So I'll call for a motion on this question.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff by Lance Gilman, motion to approve authorizing the county manager to extend and modify previously approved purchase of up to 2 years of PERS retirement credit for the comptroller Hugh Gallagher pursuant to his retirement from county employment. This action will change previously approved 2 years of PERS buyout effective about September the 30th, 2019 upon retirement on October 1st, 2019. 2A, by 1 year of PERS buyout credit effective about September the 30th, 2019, and B, retirement from Story County employment on April the 30th, 2020, and C, 7 months of PERS buyout credit effective about April 29th, 2020, contingent on his retirement on April the 30th, 2020. The combined total amount remains remains not to exceed $73,000.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
We moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right. Moving along now to item number 13, discussion of possible action. Approval of the second reading of the general business license for Virginia City Gunworks at 145 South C Street, Unit C, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicants are Aaron Stoneback and T.J. Lord. Sheriff Antonoro.
The concerns that had previously come up that I've mentioned here have been resolved. They're on track with the property owner. They're on track with ATF. So at this time, we would recommend approval of the license.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding this item? I guess I should ask the commissioners how many questions for the sheriff before I call for a motion. All right. Get a motion to approve.
I'll motion to approve the second reading for general business license for Virginia City Gunworks, 145 South C Street, Unit Number C, Virginia City, Nevada, 89440. Applicants are Aaron Stoneback and T.J. Lord.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Sheriff. All right. Moving along to item number 14, discussion of possible action for variance request. Variance 2019-038 by applicants Larry and Beth Austin to allow for a reduced front yard setback to construct a detached garage. The applicants are proposing a detached garage to be placed 11 feet from the front of the roadway easement of the Hanapah Road. The property is located at 4680 Hanapah Road, Highlands Ranches, Curry County, Nevada. Assessor's parcel number APN003-401-10. Mr. Osborne, sitting in for Kathy Canfield yes. today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kathy was not able to make this meeting. She's out of training. And because the applicant is Austin, we figured maybe this would be good for me to put my old planning hat back on. The request is for a setback variance. It's for a detached garage. It's at 4680 Hanapah Road. It's on a 10-acre parcel in the HR10s. It's actually about 10.99 acres. They're really just simply requesting to reduce the front yard setback of the detached garage from 30 feet to 11 feet. That would be from the easement line, which is per code. And then this really is because of a hardship, the topo of the property and the way it's configured, and the fact that they have a septic system on the other side is problematic in order to build this garage anywhere else. There is a photograph that's pretty good on page 4 of Kathy's staff report. I can help point to anything that you may need, but you'll see a little square in there where this garage is going. You have to look a little bit closely because of the resolution. It's at the bottom right of the parcel where you see the house. At this point, no public comment was brought forward. We did notice per NRS all the neighbors. Everyone seems to be okay with it. The Planning Commission was unanimous, 6-0, in their vote and approval to move this forward to the County Commission.
I think he's got a mountain in his backyard, doesn't he?
There is a mountain there.
Yes, a mountain. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin?
No.
Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, if I get you to, if there's no objections from the other commissioners, reading the findings of fact for a motion for approval.
I missed this part of my job, reading the findings. All right, motion for approval on page 8. The following finding facts are evident with regard to the requested variance from the recommendation. Conditions of approval in section 4 are applied. One, the variance number 2019-038, is to allow for reduced front yard setback to construct a detached garage. The applicant proposes a detached garage to be placed 11 feet from the front yard roadway easement of Hanapah Road. The property is located at 4680 Hanapah Road, Highlands Ranches, Story County, assessor parcel number APN003-401-10. Two, the subject property is located within the estate's E10VR zone, in which a single-family residences are allowed to use the detached garage, are allowed as an accessory use. that because of the special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including the shape, size, topography, and location of the surroundings, the strict application of the zoning ordinance would be deprived the subject property of privileges enjoyed by other parties in the vicinity and under identical zoning classification, that the granting of the variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property rights of the applicant, that the granting of the variance will not, under the circumstances of the particular case, affect or adversely affect to the material degree the health or safety of persons residing or working in the area of the subject property and will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to property or improvements in the subject area of the subject property. The proposed variance is in compliance with all federal, Nevada, state, and Story County regulations. The proposed variance is in compliance with Story County Code 1703-140 variance and 1712 general provisions and 1740E estate zone when all conditions of approval are met. And the proposed variance is in compliance with this and supports the goals and objectives and policies of the 2016 Story County Master Plan.
Thank you. That said, if I can get a motion to approve.
In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the Planning Commission, the findings of fact under Section 3A of this report and other findings deemed appropriate by the Board of County Commissioners, and in compliance with the conditions of approval, I, Lance Gilman, move to approve variance 2019-038 to allow for a reduced front yard setback to construct a detached garage. The applicant proposes a detached garage be placed 11 feet from the front yard roadway easement of Hennepaugh Road. The property is located at 4680 Hennepaugh Road, Highlands Ranches, Story County, Nevada, assessor parcel number APN 003-401-10.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Moved to second to approve this variance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 15, discussion of possible action. Approval of business license second reading. Any public comment regarding these business licenses? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve.
I move to approve.
I'll second.
Moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 16, public comment. Public comment today. Hearing none, we'll see you on October the 1st.